Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning and welcome to Clay County Corner from the historic Clay County Courthouse here in Salina, Tennessee. This is Kevin Donaldson sitting in for your regular host, Thomas Watson, who decided he needed a day off today and appreciate the opportunity to sit in for him. He'll be back with you next week, Lord willing. Today we're going to talk sports, girls basketball in particular. We have retiring head coach Joe Sims here with us today, and incoming new ladies basketball head coach at CCHS, Matt Walker, with us today. We'll pick both their brains and find out everything there is to know about Clay County High School girls basketball right after these messages.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Needs to be a washing hush.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yep.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
A key to your child's success at school rests at home. This is Stephanie Winkler, president of the Kentucky Education Association. One of the most important skills any student can learn is how to study. Help your child establish a study routine and a quiet place for homework away from the television and other distractions. Combined with a consistent bedtime, your student will be primed for academic success.
A message from the Kentucky Education Association.
Welcome back to the historic Clay County Courthouse and Clay County Corner. We have with us today incoming CCHS girls basketball coach Matt Walker and retiring coach Joe Sims. We'll be talking to those guys in just a second. Before that, let's remind everybody that halfway through this program or thereabouts, we will be reading our weekly list of birthdays and anniversaries and be drawing someone's name for a free ice cream cake from the local Dairy Queen here in Salina. We'll also remind everybody, in order to get someone placed on that list, you can call and leave a message at 243-5574, 243-5574. And again, about halfway through the program, we'll be reading those, and toward the end of the program, we will draw a lucky winner's name out of the hat. Short PSA before we go any further, too. There will be a Clay County Retired Teachers meeting at breakfast at Ollie's Place on Friday, April 29th. That's this coming Friday at 9 a.m. Please contact some of your friends to remind them about the meeting. Look forward to seeing everyone at that meeting, and that is from Eldon Scott. Now let's talk some girls basketball. First, we're going to talk to recently hired new coach, Matt Walker. Coach Walker, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
Appreciate you taking time out of your school day, and you too, Mr. Sims, to be here with us. Coach Walker, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Pickett County. Spent 5 years there as an assistant coach, then moved along to Hermitage Springs and got the opportunity to assist Coach Edwards and Coach Sims, and couldn't pass it up. So I've got a chance to learn from two of the best.
I see. So you graduated from high school at Pickett County?
Yes, graduated in 2000 and went right into my coaching career. Went to Tennessee Tech after that.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your playing career at Pickett County.
Well, I never actually played basketball until my junior and senior year of high school, and just got eat up with it pretty quickly.
Well, I started to say, with only a fairly limited amount of experience, what really motivated you to get into coaching?
Well, I've got a background in karate and played some other sports, and they was much more individual-oriented. But, you know, once I got into basketball, I seen that it was a team game.
Right.
Every person had a job. You had to work together as a team, and that really drew me to it. And that's what I've enjoyed coaching the game, is teaching teamwork and working together.
Well, and you came from a successful program there, and I guess being part of a successful program is always motivation to do something as well.
Absolutely. I learned a lot from my coaches, learned a lot from the coaches that I assisted. I've been lucky enough to assist some great coaches, including Coach Edwards, Coach Sims, Coach Gary Abbott from Monticello, Kentucky, that won a state championship, Coach Greg Bibb at Pickett County has been to the state tournament a few times. So I've got a chance to learn from some pretty successful people.
You have had a lot of outstanding coaches that you could call mentors, and that's always a big help, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is, especially for a young coach. You know, you take a little from this person, a little from that person, and, you know, the one common thread amongst all of them is the way they run their programs together. You know, the X's and O's and philosophy is different, but pretty much all the winning coaches I've been around have the same winning culture, the same belief in teamwork, and not one person does it. But the culture through all those coaches have been something I've tried to learn from and something I hope to instill in my program.
Right. You mentioned some individual sports that you had been in. What about other sports that you have coached? Have you coached anything besides basketball?
I've coached football and baseball and cross country.
Well, tell us a little bit about those.
I coached the high school head baseball coach at Pickett County. We had some success there. Football coach at Pickett County, junior high, peewee, all the way up to high school. Got into that because my nephews love football, and they didn't have anybody else to do it. And that gave me a chance to be on the other side of things as far as building a program, making it the way that I wanted, the day in, day out of being a head coach. That was my first opportunity to learn the small parts of the coaching career.
Right.
And that's something I took with me when I started at Hermitage Springs.
Now, when did you actually move to Clay County, Matt, and start coaching and teaching here?
This is my fifth year in Clay County. My first year, I was driving back and forth from Burgetown to Clay County to Hermitage Springs every day. And
that was a pretty long trip.
It was a pretty long drive. But after a year, I just fell in love with the community, the people, the support I had down there. And we bought a house down there. So I've lived here for the last 4 years.
What's your preferred style of play, Coach? Or do you have one?
I do. I like to run up and down the floor. I like to press. The things that I feel like you can control is your conditioning. You know, I think you can always outwork the other opponent. Now, that's not always going to be the case. We may not press every team that we play, but I certainly like to press. Like to have a good inside game. Like to have a good outside game. I like for basketball to be free-flowing and the kids to trust themselves if they feel like they've got an open shot, to let it fly and trust each other.
Well, you've had a broad coaching experience in various sports and at various levels. At Hermy Springs, were you at the junior high level or Pee Wee level?
I was at both. Hermy Springs. I was at both. I started the kids in third grade, and the kids that I was there with for the 4 years I was there, you know, I took them all the way up, and that was a real pleasure to watch them advance. And then last year, getting the opportunity to help Coach Edwards, I actually coached some of those several boys that I started with. And what an honor that is to have a kid as a seventh and eighth grader and then coach him again as a junior and senior. It's an honor to watch them grow as young men and players.
Right. Appreciate the input, and we'll have more from Coach Matt Walker right after these messages.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Clay County Corner, WVFB 1.5 on your FM dial. This is Kevin Donaldson, guest hosting for Thomas Watson today, who's taking the day off. And we're here talking Clay County High School girls basketball today. We'll be talking with retiring coach Joe Sims in just a few moments, and we're spending the first part of our program today talking to incoming coach Matt Walker. Coach, you mentioned that you were a relative latecomer to basketball. How important do you think it is to get kids started early in the sport, in that sport or any other sport?
I think it's huge. One of the things I try to do at Hermitage Springs is all the way down to the kindergartners and pre-K kids, is just teach the basic skills. I had the kids every day in PE at Hermitage Springs, so we would dribble, you know, right hand, left hand with the pre-K and kindergarten kids, and practice shooting layups the right way. And that was the great part about having the kids every day in class, is we could practice basic skills for basketball and basic skills for football and throwing and catching, just the fundamentals that I see Coach Sims working on with the high school kids also. It's never too early to start on the fundamentals.
Right. You know, things have changed so much since people my age and Coach Sims' age. We didn't play organized ball, or I didn't at least, until junior high level, basically. We had, I think, maybe two or three games at the Pee Wee level. I think we kind of kicked it off, and it started the next year. These kids have played so much ball, more ball than we probably played in our lives by the time they hit junior high, you know, than we did in the old days. How do you keep kids from having burnout in a situation like that? That's a difficult question to answer, I guess, but what's your theory on that?
Well, I have an active role coaching several AAU teams as well. When you mention all the games that the kids are playing, I'll coach up to 50 games during a typical March through June. And we do a lot of trips. We do overnight trips. We're the parents. So I think it's great for the parents to bond with the kids. It's great for them to bond with their teammates. And there's nothing the kids like more than going to a hotel and just swimming. And I think even if they do get tired of the practice and stuff, it's the teammates that keep drawing them back into it. It's the teammates, the love of the game. And I don't think that ever gets old.
And kids are so much more knowledgeable about sports than we were at a much younger age. You know, my daughter started playing when she was 6 years old, I guess, maybe five for some of the baseball and t-ball and things like that. But they have so much more exposure in terms of media. You know, people my age used to wait till Saturday to come around to be able to see a basketball game on a blurry TV screen. You know, if, hopefully the weather was cooperating. Do you figure that added experience helps them in terms of developing skills and things like that?
I think so. I'm especially coming from the junior high level. I love for my kids to try new things. As a coach, you know, you can't coach robots. It's great for the kids to pick up something from the TV that they want to try, for a player that they want to be like. It's like they're getting extra coaching from on their own. It's teaching themselves to want to be more, to want to expand their game other than just being robots out there. It teaches them how to think the game, how to see it as a free flowing game versus just running plays all the time.
Right. Switching a little bit from theory, I guess, to practicality. Of course, you spent a year with the girls team this year. Tell us a little bit about what you feel like the outlook is for next year and some of the young ladies that'll be back playing for the Bulldogs this time.
I think we've got a great outlook for this year. We have three returning starters, Caitlin McLean, Brittany Boone, and Jada Kerr. We have three returning starters. We've also got three girls that come off the bench last year and played quite a role for us. We got two freshmen that'll be returning next year, Taylor Strong and Kenzie Arms. And McKenna Biles will be a senior that come off the bench and play quite a bit. So we've got six of our main rotation girls coming back. We've also got some girls that I got a chance to coach in JV that I look to step up this year. Maddie Harlan, Cara Butterworth. So that right there gives us a strong eight-man rotation. Plus, I think we have some other players that can develop into roles as well.
Let's talk for just a second about the challenges of coaching in District 7A. I think arguably, and I wouldn't mind Coach Sims weighing in on this, it's the toughest single-A district in the state of Tennessee. I had these numbers in my brain at one time, but I've been away from it enough now. The amount of state championships won in this area, not only in single-A but double-A, is just staggering. And, of course, District 7A won. I don't know how many championships out of how many years there over one particular stretch. Coach Sims, I'll ask you to chime in here. What are the challenges of coaching in District 7A? And then I'd like to get Coach Walker's take on that, too.
Well, it's a really big challenge. Not only do we have really good players, and it gets back to what you was talking about earlier about the development of the players. You know, they all start at a young age, and by the time they get to junior high, they're really good players, and if they continue to develop, really good players most of the time will play some as a freshman if they don't start. That's, you know, the start of it, but then I think the coaching is the second part of it. You know, if you're not willing to work extremely hard and put pretty much your whole life into it, it's hard to be successful in our district. You know, Lamar's been at Clark Range now for about 40 years, and, you know, he'll probably end up with the most wins in the state before he's done. I think that's probably what he's hanging around for, because he's got well over 1,000 now. And then you had Jim Brown at Jackson County for the last 20 years or so, and, you know, he's won, I think, 8 state championships, some in double, some in single.
Right.
You know, we've had a good amount of success here. Been down a little the last couple of years, but, you know, all through the 90s, you know, we were in the state tournament 9 out of 13 years there at one point. Pickett County's been down a little, but, you know, Brent's got them back they're as good as anybody in the state. And of course, before him, his brother Barry Smith was up there, and you know they won a state championship in '89. You know, Monterey, you know, they're not really great, but you know, like, they're good enough to beat you on a given night. Todd Hess does a good job up there. So, you know, it gets back to coaches and players both, I think. Everybody just working extremely hard and, you know, beating each other's brains out on Tuesdays and Friday nights, or trying to, you know. And usually, you know, if you can make it out of our district or out of our region, you got a really good chance of, you know, going deep into the state if you can do that.
Right. Coach Walker, what's your perspective on 7A? You played in it as well and grew up in District 7A. Your feelings about it in terms of girls in particular?
Going back to the development, when I'm out there coaching AAU on Friday, Saturday, Sunday right now, we see the same teams that we're going to be seeing as juniors and seniors. We see Pickett County, Clark Range, Monterey, Jackson out there, and we play a lot of these same teams on the younger levels. As far as the older levels go, it drives me to work even harder. As Coach Sim says, you have to be on your A game to not get embarrassed. You have to have the girls prepared, scouted. A lot of work goes into it before you even play the game on Tuesday night or Friday night. So a lot of work on the coach's part just to not get embarrassed, because you're going up against some of the best minds in basketball. That's their sole focus, is to beat you.
And the success of teams in District 7A is not just a recent occurrence. I mean, I can remember when I was in high school, only two classifications in those days. Jackson County had a powerhouse back then, playing the old 6-on-6. And then you had the Pickett County teams, which I know you don't remember, but you've heard about that, one four in a row, playing two different kinds of ball for two different coaches. I view that as one of the great achievements in upcoming sports history, to be able to switch coaches in midstream and styles of ball. And that's just continued down through the years. It's amazing the number of championships that have been won. It looks like it's time for another commercial break. We'll be back and wind things up with Coach Matt Walker in just a few moments.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walking the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. We're spending this morning talking about CCHS girls basketball with incoming coach Matt Walker and also retiring coach Joe Sims. I've been talking to Coach Walker about his background and coaching philosophies. Coach, you mentioned AAU ball a while ago. I know it's that time of year. Tell us what's going on in terms of AAU ball and Clay County girls basketball right now.
We've got some of the best teams around. Actually, this next weekend, we're going to go to Gatlinburg and play in the AAU state tournament. And assuming we do well, which I think we should, in July, we're going to go play in South Carolina in the AAU national tournament. Pretty much all the teams we're playing are what you'd call true all-star teams, versus most of our teams, which are almost exclusively Clay County girls. And we're having quite a bit of success, and it's fun to see us play. A couple weekends ago, we played a team from Memphis and beat them, put them out with girls bigger than I was. Played against the CPA team, put them out of the tournament a few weeks ago. So we're playing the best competition around, and these girls, win or lose, it's just making them better every week. I'm coaching the 6th grade girls and the 7th grade girls, and Mark Ashlock is doing a 5th grade girls team as part of our program, and Lana Woodcock is doing a 4th grade girls team as part of our program. So we've got girls getting ready to feed into our high school that have played quite a bit of ball.
And there's been a lot of success at the junior high level in terms of girls basketball. You've got 2 feeder schools coming into your program here. What about some of the young ladies coming up from junior high?
Well, some of the girls that's getting ready to play for the high school right now have had Tia Arms as the coach, and she's done a great job with them, had quite a bit of success at Salina K-8. And then Veronica Sampson, who I had the privilege to work with, has done a great job at Hermitage Springs. I know they've won a couple of state championships. They won the junior high state championship this year, was a Pee-wee runner-up last year, and Pee-wee state champs the year before that. So we've got 2 feeder schools that are both thriving right now, and I'm excited to get some of those kids to feed up to the high school.
Looks like the future of Clay County girls basketball continues to be bright.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait. We've got good girls coming up. We've got good fan support. I think it's primed and ready for another run like Coach Sims had, hopefully.
Incoming CCHS girls basketball coach Matt Walker has been our guest for the first part of our show. Coach, again, thank you so much for being here. We'll let you get back to school and resume your normal duties. We appreciate you being here, and welcome aboard, or on board, I guess, in terms of being our new head coach from all the Clay County basketball fans. Good luck next year.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for all your coverage.
We'll be back with retiring coach Joe Sims after these brief messages.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. We're broadcasting here from the historic Clay County Courthouse. This is Kevin Donaldson sitting in for your regular host, Thomas Watson, who has the day off. It's time for us to go through our list of birthdays and anniversaries. We'll be drawing a name out of the hat here in just a little bit toward the end of our show to see who wins that free ice cream cake from the local Dairy Queen here in Salina. But the folks whose name have been submitted to us this week include Jackson Stone Thompson. That birthday wish is from 3 generations of grannies. Also have Dean White celebrating an 89th birthday. Sorry we couldn't understand all of Miss White's
name there, but we did catch Dean. Landon Melton, 40th birthday, family and friends. Kinsley Reagan, happy birthday from Nanny and Pa Dale. Trixie Savage, birthday wish from family and friends. Kim Grace, also from friends and family. And Kenny and Judy Meadows are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, and that wish comes from friends and family. If you want to get someone on this list each week, and we urge you to do that, all you have to do is call 243-5574 and leave a good, clear message for us of the person that you'd like to put on that list as celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary. Hope you'll do that. We've been talking Clay County High School girls basketball this morning. We just introduced our listeners to incoming head coach Matt Walker. We have retiring head coach Joe Sims with us for the rest of the program. Coach, good to have you here as always.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a long journey for you. I believe this is year number 24.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. Of course, like I was telling you earlier, if I took off 6 years, this would have been 30 years. So I started in 1987, and we've had a lot of good years, had a couple not so good, but I guess you learn and something from each year as you go.
Right. Coach, going all the way back to the beginning, you had a rough first year, as I recall, but even by the second year, you kind of turned things around and headed this down this path that you spoiled us on now of going to state tournaments and such.
Yeah, our first year, it was pretty rough on me particularly. I think the girls team had won two games the year before I started, and we only won three that first year. But we were being a little more competitive, I thought. I really wasn't trying to do a whole lot because, one thing, my experience was so limited, I didn't know a whole lot to do, to tell you the truth. And, I had to grow as I went as well. But, we were trying to just be a disciplined basketball team, try to stay under control. And, most people gave me a lot of compliments that first year, even though we wasn't winning a lot of games. And, by the second year, I felt like we'd have a better year, and we did, but unfortunately, we had a lot of injuries that year, and I think we'd only won five games going into the district tournament that year. I remember we were 0-10, I guess it was, in the district, and that's when we had six teams, and three played six, which we were six, and Pickett County was three, and we were able to pull off a big upset and put us into the region for the first time in several years, and we actually won a game in the region. But looking back, I really think that win over Pickett kind of springboarded us. It made the girls realize that they could beat a pretty good team.
Right.
Then from the next year, we won 17 games and pulled a couple upsets and got to the sub-state for the first time ever, and just kind of grew from there.
Coach, and I wouldn't ask just anybody this, but I know you remember everything and everybody almost.
Well,
who were some of the players on that first team? First run there, for a point of reference for us.
Well, the first year, Trisha Fox Strong now, was a sophomore. She was, about 6 foot tall and, had some skills. She really didn't lead her, wasn't our leading scorer that year, Christy Spears. She was a big post player. She was our leading scorer, but Christy and Lori Ashley and Dana Overstreet and Regina Ponley and Trisha were the five that started. And Tina Davis was a senior. She played quite a bit. Angel Capps played some, then she got hurt. Had some younger players that didn't get to play a whole lot. But then the second year, I graduated about five or six seniors, but Trisha and Judy Meadows started, and Jody Hull came on and became a really good player. Glenda Scott was a sophomore. She started. And Jan Arms came up as a freshman, and she got hurt, unfortunately, about halfway through the year, missed about a month, and cost us some wins, and I got her back right before the tournament. That really helped. I think Jody got her sometime in there and got her back. But then the 89 season, the year we made it to the sub-state, it was basically those same girls, Judy and Trisha and Jody and Jan and Glenda and Sonya Smith was a freshman. She played a really big role in that team.
Now, who did y'all play in that first sub-state trip?
We played Joe Burns at Springfield High School. They had a big girl, about 6'2", that was pretty good. They just had a really solid team. Of course, we had pulled a bunch of upsets just to get there. You know, that's the year that Pickett, they won the state championship. And we had beat them in the consolation game of the district tournament. And then we ended up playing them in the region finals, and they beat us that night. Of course, they got to play their sub-state at home, and they won. We had to go on the road and unfortunately lost. But, you know, that was the start of it, I think. You know, we made sub-state, I think, 10 straight years from that point on.
Now, refresh our memory. You've not lost many sub-state games through the years.
No, I lost those first three, and then in 96 we lost one, and that's the only ones we've lost out of, I guess we're 10-4.
Right.
I think we've been to 14.
Now, the first trip to the state tournament, I believe, was around 92?
92, yeah.
Something like that. What was that like, making it down there to Murfreesboro the first time?
You know, we were all just so ecstatic, you know, to finally be there after losing in the sub-state three straight years. You know, we were finally able to beat Clark Range. You know, that was the first year, and we had lost to them, I think, no, both times in the regular season. No, they got upset in the district tournament. We played Upperman in the district finals and beat them. So we're having to play Clark Range in the region semis, you know, loser goes home. And we were able to beat them at Watertown, I remember. And that was, you know, that was so big for us at that time. You know, we didn't really know what to do once we got the state tournament other than go out there and do what we'd been doing. You know,
right.
we drew Greenback the first game, and yeah, we blew them off the floor. And then we were in a tough bracket. We had to play Moore County, which they'd been ranked first or second the whole year. And, you know, we're down 11, I think, at halftime, and we made a little run, and then they made a run, got us down 11 or 12 again. But we made a run about halfway through the fourth quarter and got the lead and was able to hold on and beat them. And then we played Gleason in the finals and led for about three quarters and had a little point guard that buried a couple threes and gave them the lead, and we ended up losing by about 7 or something like that. But
Coach, I'm sure this is like daylight and dark. How does preparing for a state tournament game compare to regular season or even district tournament or whatever?
Well, at first, I didn't really know what to do, so I just did what I'd been doing. The one thing I learned in my second year is not to try to over-prepare. You know, I tried to put a whole bunch of stuff in, and we ended up being confused, and we went down there and played awful, and which I don't think that had anything to do with it. But, you know, you just do what you've been doing. You know, you watch the film and, you know, see what they do good and try to take it away from them if you can, and you know, see what they do defensively and try to attack it like you have. But, you know, I've learned, you know, you just do what you did the regular season. Well, what you did to get you there, you know, trust it, and, you know, it'll usually work out.
Right. Talking to retiring CCHS girls basketball coach Joe Sims, and we'll hear more from Coach Sims right after these messages.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. A physical, occupational, and speech therapist. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. This is Kevin Donaldson sitting in for your regular host, Thomas Watson. We're talking now with retiring Clay County High School girls basketball coach Joe Sims, who's been reflecting on really the years leading up to that first trip to the state tournament in 92. And coach, that 92 was the start of a four-year run, is that right, that you guys made it to the state tournament?
Yeah, 4 years straight, and then we missed a year, and then we made it two more. So 96, we got beaten in sub-state. That was a pretty good stretch right there.
It definitely is. And the streak at one point was 9 years out of 13 that you went to.
Yeah, we went 92, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, just 99, 2000, and then 1, 2, and 4. 4 was the year that last year I coached before I took a little break there.
Coach, it's got to make you feel good to know that you made it to the state tournament 9 years out of 13. Having to come out of a district and thus a region as tough as what it is in 7A.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, if you can get out of your region, normally you got a good chance of winning your sub-state game. And then if you can, you know, get a good draw, you know, win a game or two at least in the state tournament, because, you know, you're usually one of the top five or six teams if you can get out of this district up here.
And it's not unusual, for all practical purposes, for three teams out of this district, or maybe you could stretch it out to four, depending on who's good what year, four teams out of, well, it's now five, down from the old days, maybe in the top 20 in the state.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch, is it?
No. I can remember one year, I think it was 98, I thought we had five of the top 10 teams in the state. You know, one of those didn't even get to go to the region. Unfortunately, it wasn't us. Pickett County had a really good team, and they got beat first game of the district tournament because
right.
They had a tough draw. And, you know, we didn't win the district that year, but we won the region and got to the Final Four. But Clark Range probably were the two that made it that year. I don't remember. No, I take that back. Guardsville was real good, and us and Guardsville were the two that made the state out of our region that year. But like I said, you know, it's tough year in, year out.
We're going to talk about the gold ball year here in just a minute, but you had 4 years where you finished runner-up in the state. Quite an achievement. But still, I guess, in a sense, maybe a little frustrating to get that close. But of those four, Coach, was there one that you thought, well, maybe we ought to have won it that year?
Yeah, probably the first one is the one we probably should have won.
That was the one against Gleason, right?
Yeah. Like I said, we led for, I think, three quarters. Not a lot, you know, maybe 4 or 5 points. And, you know, they had a big team. my team wasn't that big. We had, you know, 5'9", 5'10 girls. They had a 6'1 or 6'2 girl, another big 5'10, 5'11. And I remember breaking down their stats just from the state tournament, and like 75% of their scoring was inside. So I'd played a 1-3-1 practically every game that year. We played some 2-3 every once in a while. And I decided to go to a 2-3 and kind of pack it, you know, try to keep the ball out of the post.
Right.
And for some reason, we'd done a pretty good job for three quarters of at least stepping up and getting a hand in their face when they wanted to shoot. But this little point guard hadn't hit a shot, I don't think, out on the floor the whole tournament. She comes down two straight trips, and we didn't pick her up. She buried threes both times, and it gave them the lead, and we just never could recover from that. You know, it ended up losing, I think, 57-52 or something like that. But, you know, that's the one I really think we probably, any of them we should have won. That was it, because the rest of them, you know, I thought we were the underdog. You know, we were losing all of them by 12, 15 points or something. You know,
right.
We played the Bradford team in 97. That was just really good. The 94 year we played Oneida, and we had scrimmaged them in the preseason and beat them point, but I knew it would be close, and they had a girl named Renee Laxton that played at UT. You know, we did a pretty good job on her for two and a half quarters maybe, but she kind of took the game over, and they ended up beating us. And then in 02, when Deanna and them was playing, played Ezel, and they were a really good three-point shooting team, and yeah, we led a little there. I think the second quarter we got ahead one time, but you know, they ended up beating us. It really wasn't that much, but they had about a 7-8 point lead going in the last quarter, held the ball the whole last quarter, and they were so good at it, you know, we couldn't take it from them. You know, we was trying to trap and do a little everything, but you know, just didn't have much of a chance once they got a little lead.
Something you said there reminded me of a question I wanted to ask you. I'm not going to put you on the spot by saying who the best player was that ever played for you. You had a bunch, and we wouldn't have time to even mention all of them. I'm curious about this. Who do you think was the best player your team ever played against? Now, you mentioned a player there. Now, I've not seen all the games during that time. The Laxton girl, I really thought may have been the best player I ever saw play Class A basketball.
Well, she could have been, but, of course, I didn't see her play that much. You know, her UT career was so-so. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, of course, she's playing, you know, number one of the best colleges in the nation, you know, against the best players. For Class A, you know, she was really good. Of course, this was real early. But now, Amy Brown at Livingston was one of the best that I ever tried to play against. I remember when Jan was playing in 91, her and Allison and those girls, they just beat our brains out the years before that, and we were able to play them close enough that she had to play the whole game.
Right.
But she set a Livingston record that night scoring. I mean, she had about 42. You couldn't stop her because she shot a fall away shot down off the baseline down there. If she ever got it, she's going to get her shot. Hopefully she missed it, but she didn't miss many that night. But that's kind of like picking my own best player. It'd be hard to do, you know, but Amy was definitely one of the best. And, of course, Clark Rangers had some really good players. Andrea Hall up there was really good. Tuggle's girl from Bradford was really good.
She was.
She started years and, like, it won about three state championships while she was there. But, you know, we played against a lot of good ones over the years.
We're talking to Coach Joe Sims. It looks like it's time for a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about that magical championship season. We'll be back right after these messages.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walking the park.
Clean. Wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate. Keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook. Make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. Before we continue talking with retiring Coach Joe Sims, let's take care of our unfinished business on our free ice cream cake from the local Dairy Queen. Kim Grace is our winner this week. Kim, you can go by the Chamber of Commerce here in Salina and pick up a certificate that will allow you to get that delicious free ice cream cake from the local Dairy Queen. Again, that's Kim Grace. Congratulations to her. Let's get back to our interview with Coach Sims. Coach, let's talk for just a few minutes about that magical season. You'd been off for 6 years. Did you feel like you had some unfinished business? Was that part of your motivation maybe of coming back, or were you just needed to get back into the business?
No, I really wasn't thinking much about state championships or anything. I'd just been out 6 years, and I just kind of got the itch, you know, to get back in. Like I said in the paper, you know, once you get coaching in your blood, it's hard to get it out, you know. And, you know, the job came open again, and I was 54, I guess, so I knew, you know, if I was going to ever do it, I probably needed to try to get back in. So I told John Denton at the time, was the principal, you know, if he wanted me to take it back, I would. So I think it worked out pretty good.
Talk some about that postseason run that wound up getting the state championship.
Well, you know, we went into that year. We had a good year, my first year back. I think we went 21-11 or something like that, and got beaten in the region semis against Jackson, which that was kind of disappointing. But had only lost one player off that team. Rachel Burnett was the only senior we had. So I had, you know, Sydney Roach, Mackenzie Hamilton, and Allie Brown, Casey Cooper, all coming back. And Emma Ogletree had come off the bench that year. And so I basically had five starters coming back. And, you know, we went to camp and had a really good summer, played good. And then about the fifth, sixth game of the year, you know, we go to Clark Range, and, you know, we're leading right early in the third quarter. Emma blows her knee out again. So I figured then, well, what chance we had of, you know, making it to a state tournament was probably over. But, you know, we moved Allie in, started Maddie Monroe and Hannah Ogletree had been coming off the bench, and I started rotating them as starting. So, you know, we did a lot better than I thought we'd do, and by the end of the year, you know, we were playing pretty good ball. Still, you know, we're just – hoping, you know, we can get to the state tournament. You know,
right.
We're not thinking about winning it, which that's always, I guess, in the back of your mind. But, you know, Jackson County was really good that year. They had beat us, of course, both times in the regular season. And, you know, the first game of the district,
really was a state championship game or meant getting to the state because we played Clark Range. They beat us both times, and we played good. We're able to beat them, so that puts them and Jackson in the same bracket in the region.
Right.
We got to stay away from them. So that was the really big game. Of course, Jackson beat us in the district finals and the region finals, but I'd said all year, you know, if we could just get to the sub-state, you know, I'd be happy. Well, we did. You know, we went to Whipple, went down there and played a good game. We won by 20-something, I think. And first game in the state, could we play? Well, the team that we played the summer before at camp and close game, and they've got a big 6'2 girl in since we played them, so I didn't know if we could beat them or not, but we was able to beat them, and then we played Summertown, which they had upset Lake County, which Lake County had been the number one team all year. And we didn't play great that game. We missed, I remember, too many foul shots, but it came down, and we were behind a point. They had two foul shots. We'd had to foul. If the girl hits both of them, we'd probably lose. But luckily, she missed one. We came down. Sydney got fouled, hit both, went to the line. We got in overtime and was able to pull that one out. And then the Jackson County game, you know,
That was really a magical night.
It was. you know, we had about an hour that morning to prepare. You know, of course, we played them four times because we pretty much knew what they was going to do. But the thing that the first time we played them that year, we played a matchup zone, which I thought that was our base defense. And then I told the girls, I said, we're going to have to try to play man against them, you know, try to take their threes away some. Well, you know, we did that the next three times and played them close, but lost every time, you know, 7, 8, 9 points. And I told them then that day, I said, listen, they wanted to play man. I said, I don't think we can win playing man. I said, they run that pick and roll too good. I said, we're going to have to play our matchup. I said, okay, you know, that is fine. So we went out, man, and right from the get-go, you know, we've been getting down 7 or 8 points first quarter. We scored, I remember Allie hit a 3 first trip, came down next time. I think we got a basket in transition, then we hit another 3, and next thing you know, it's 8-2, you know, and we led the whole game, you know. They cut it to 2, I remember one time in the third quarter, but it was just a magical, perfect game. You know, we couldn't have played any better, and we finally caught them on a night when they didn't play like they had the other four times.
You know, I remember the late third quarter and fourth quarter, you guys just shooting the lights out, too.
Well,
seemed like everything was going in.
Right before the end of the third quarter, it was 2. And McKenzie drove in and somehow threw a scoop shot up over Hensley, and it went in, and it put us up 4. Well, they got the ball holding it for the last shot. And in our matchup, McKenzie actually was supposed to have been on Wharton. And Sydney said, here, let's switch. So Sydney kind of took her course. We're basically playing man at that point. And she tried to penetrate, and Sydney defended her so well that she went all the way out, stepped on the baseline, and we got the ball back with like 2 seconds. And I just wanted to throw the ball in, you know, get into the fourth quarter. And Maddie Monroe was throwing it in, and her and Sydney made eye contact, and she faked toward the baseline and went long, and Maddie lobbed it to her, and she took about 3 dribbles and banked one in from just right across the center line,
right.
You know, and that put us up 7. So, you know, and they came out and had the ball start the fourth quarter, and they cut it to 2. Next 10 or 12 points, it went from 5 to like 15 or 17, you know,
right.
Game's over at that point.
Right. Well, what did it feel like after all those years to finally have that go by?
It's hard to imagine, you know. I was sitting there on the sideline 2 minutes to go. I said, man, we're going to finally win one. You know, I about lost it. You know, I about started squalling right there on the sideline. But, you know, I kept it together at that point. But it was just, you know, so much happiness for all of us, you know.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a fabulous career. Hope you enjoy retirement from basketball. I know you're still going to be on the staff over at the high school.
Yeah, I think I finally got it out of my system after basically 30 years.
Well, congratulations on that big win and on a great career.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy it. That's about all the time we have today here on the Clay County Corner. We hope that you will make plans to tune in again next Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And we're now signing off from the historic Clay County Courthouse.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.